Alright, degenerates, we are here again. We're going to give you all the fucking action. First three rounds of the NFL draft we're going to be talking about. We might go into a little bit of the later stuff, not a lot. This is fantasy football, man. We don't care about those seventh round picks, you know? We're going to be doing a general recap. Not going to go into a ton of detail. We're going to start doing a deep dive the next 2 weeks. We're going to be breaking down different positions. For now, we're just going to talk about the draft in general. I am joined, as always, by the Dynasty Degenerate himself, Mr. Steven Sampson. How you doing tonight, Steve? I know this is a Christmas day for you Dynasty guys. You know, how you feeling about this draft?
What's up, Degenerates? The draft is now over, and for some of the leagues that I'm in, we started drafting 2 hours ago. So Christmas, New Year's all rolled into one fucking 24-hour period. Yeah, it's this draft, I don't think I've been more excited for a draft in the last several years, not just from a fantasy standpoint, but just in general for the amount of talent that was coming into it, both on offensive and defensive sides of the ball. Fantasy-wise, I think there was a lot of potential early and not a lot of potential late. So once we start digging in, I think that'll become a little bit relevant.
Yeah, not as deep.
Oh, it definitely was not as deep as last year.
We are also joined by the commissioner himself, the DFS degenerate, Eric DeFusco. How are you doing tonight, Eric?
What's going on, fellas? I'm doing great. Yeah, so like we said, we're going to get into this draft a little bit, and it started out with a bang. Seven consecutive offensive players. Some big names in the first round, a few in the second, and then like the third round was kind of a little flat. And it kind of flattened out. Yeah, definitely compared, like I said, me personally, looking back at 2020, this draft class ain't even going to hold a candle to it.
Yeah, I think there's more top-end talent. I think the top-end talent is better than last year.
I don't even know about that, honestly.
I don't know, man. Who's better than Chase? Who's better than Pitts?
Well, Pitts is kind of a unicorn.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Jefferson had a really good rookie season.
Oh, yeah. No, there's no denying. I mean, just prospect-wise, you know.
Prospect-wise, Chase is better than Jefferson, but running backs, you can't even – I don't even think Najee Harris would have been top five last year if he came out.
So I was about to say, I think that's a little strong. I think I still would have had him top five, but definitely it was a stronger class last year. But again, I think it was deeper. I don't know if that top end talent, like Dobbins or Jonathan Taylor, like really a better prospect than Najee Harris. Like, we'll see. We'll find
100%.
Out, right?
I think they were. But
if Najee doesn't go to Pittsburgh, this isn't even a discussion, honestly.
But he did,
which, but I mean, I agree with Eric that this class wasn't even close with running backs to what it was last year. He would be definitely outside of my top five from last year.
I don't know. I'd probably have him third.
Oh, third?
No.
Yeah, third or fourth. Yeah.
Jonathan Taylor or Najee Harris?
See, that's close for me.
No, I mean, I'm not a Taylor guy, but it's Taylor.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see.
Cam Akers, Najee Harris.
I think I would lean Najee Harris. Yes.
I would take Akers.
Well, I would take Akers as well. I guess it's just that
I'm much higher on Najee Harris than you guys. Clearly,
that's what I think it is.
At the end of the year, one of us will be right and one of us will be wrong because there is no fucking way we don't find out there's nobody ahead of him on the depth chart. He's going to get the touches. So before we get too involved, we do have a quick mailbag.
The mailbag.
All right, so Nate writes in. He says, no salutations. We're fine with that. Straight to business. He says, who are the top 8 to 12 rookie running backs and wide receivers post-NFL draft? It's a great question. We are definitely not prepared to answer it yet. We have to start evaluating the depth charts, who's in front of these guys, who's behind them, you know, these running backs, what's their offensive line look like, these wide receivers, who are their quarterbacks, who's their competition, do they play outside, do they play inside? We're going to be getting to those types of questions in the next couple of weeks, Nate. So we appreciate you writing in. Right now, we're just going to go into our draft recap, but trust me, you will be getting that analysis. We are going to do it. We're going to have rankings, and we appreciate you reaching out.
Hey, Nate, I'll give you a spoiler. I'll give you my number one overall at each position, quarterback Trevor Lawrence, running back Najee Harris, wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase, tight end Kyle Pitts.
Whoa, okay, hold off on the controversy.
I know, those are some hot takes. But yeah, so, we'll get to that, like you said, like Brian said, we'll get to that question later, definitely over the next couple weeks.
Yep, so, all right, I don't see any reason to put it off. Let's get right into it.
The Rookie Watch.
So, I mean, guys, obviously, the biggest pick of the night. You know, the draft started at 3. Trey Lance goes. They pass on Jones. It's already being reported that there was a lot of internal struggle which one they were going to take. At the end of the day, they land on Trey Lance. What do you guys think of the pick, Steve?
I don't mind it, especially if they're keeping Garoppolo for the year, because that gives him a little bit of time to get into the system, to develop it into the NFL.
Yeah, it'll give him a couple games.
Yeah, well, before Garoppolo gets hurt, week 3, week 4. But, I mean, just the presence, even if Lance is playing with Garoppolo there, being a veteran, having already gone through this, what he did in New England, that helps a player. So I think that makes a difference. To me, it does. And I think that's probably why they took Lance instead of Jones, because they didn't get the offers they wanted for Jimmy and they were planning to keep him.
Yeah. What do you think, Eric?
I like the pick. I think it's kind of hard to argue that Trey Lance, out of all the quarterbacks taken in the 2021 draft, he definitely, I think, landed in the best situation. Kyle Shanahan is the coach. Great O-line, solid defense. He's got some pretty decent weapons. They picked up a couple running backs we'll talk about later down the line that I think are going to be pretty decent pieces. And I like the pick. You know, I definitely do like the pick. And that pick allowed you guys to get Mac Jones because, like you said, if he didn't go 3, he was going to slip, and he slipped.
So, and you know, that's a great point. Let's talk about the quarterback situations, these top 5 guys. You know, I was a firm believer that they were going to take Jones at 3. From what I understand, Shanahan was pushing for Mac Jones. John Lynch was pushing back, saying, no, we have to take the upside. We have to go with the better prospect. Obviously, that can be debated. I wouldn't. I think Trey Lance has a much higher upside. I think he might have the highest ceiling in this draft outside of Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson. So I can't hate the pick. But yeah, Mac Jones, this is not because he fell to my team. I like Mac Jones. I always have. You guys have heard me pushing him to go 3rd overall. That was not an act. I am thrilled to have him on the Patriots, if Bill will let him start.
No, I agree with that. I think he starts. I don't know that it's day 1 or week 1, but I don't see them sticking with Cam for too many games.
I have to think that he's going to be starting at some point during the season. I mean, I'm sure Cam will open the season as the starter. But, it's going to be Mac's team before you know it.
God willing, because I don't know how much more of this shit I can take. So, obviously, Trevor Lawrence, shock of the night, goes 1 overall. He lands in Jacksonville. I'm surprised they didn't take a wide receiver for him. I feel like that bucket's a little empty. I'm curious what you guys are expecting out of him his rookie year.
Of the 3 of us, I think I've been the lowest on Lawrence anyway, so.
Which is insanity.
I mean, I'd still say he's the best overall talent in the class. I don't expect a lot from him in Jacksonville this year, just because they have a tremendous amount of holes. Not as many as the Jets, but they did fill some need and put some weapons around him. But I still look for him to struggle a little bit. I think Jacksonville is a mediocre team this year. I think fantasy-wise, you're looking at Lawrence being maybe a quarterback 20 at best. I mean, maybe he's a little higher than that. He does have some decent receivers, but I'll be surprised if he's above 20.
I mean, I'm not crazy about his receivers. I think Chark is a little overrated. He kind of flashed that rookie season. Last year, we just didn't see it. You know, I'm kind of out on him. I think they need a legit wide receiver one. I don't think they have it right now. So they're going to have to go get it, in my opinion. What do you think, Eric?
Yeah, I'm not a, you know, I like Chark. I don't love Chark.
He's probably a
really good two. They definitely, yeah, I we'll get to that pick later. I don't want to talk about it right now, but there were several other ways they could have gone at 25.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they figure Chenault's going to be the one.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, but at the end of the day, you can't deny it. Like DJ Chark and LaVisca Chenault, they're huge winners from this because they really didn't take any wide receivers. So
yeah, no competition at all.
Anybody who bought into them or was able to get them cheap, congratulations.
So let's talk about Zach Wilson. You know, the Jets, they're all in. They took Zach Wilson. They drafted some other weapons we'll talk about in just a minute. I think Zach Wilson has huge potential. I love Zach Wilson. Clear-cut number two for me. I'm curious what you think his fantasy outlook could be this year in a 49er-type system.
So they didn't really address the running back position, I feel. I mean, I know they took a guy in the fourth, but...
Michael Carter's really good.
I don't... Yeah, he's all right.
Yeah, I think he's a little overrated.
I think he's going to be okay, but I don't... I would have rather seen him take one of the top three. Obviously, they weren't there for him, but I do like that the Jets traded up and got an offensive lineman. They're putting weapons around him. They're trying to protect him, and they're going to give him the opportunity to go out and excel. They did pick up Carter. They picked up another wide receiver, which we'll talk about later. So I think it helps Wilson. I think he's probably still going to be in the same area that Lawrence finishes, right around 20-ish, 21, 22, somewhere around there, just because the Jets are still fairly bad. But, I mean, mm-hmm. If he gets a connection with some of the weapons and he develops quickly, he could go much higher.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think you're a little low on him, personally.
I mean, I did just take him at 105, so.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely
can't say I'm down on him.
I could see him having a much better rookie season than Trevor Lawrence, just because mm-hmm. of the weapons. They drafted Elijah Moore, who we'll talk about in a minute. They drafted Michael Carter, who we'll talk about in a minute. They drafted offensive line help, and they already have Jamison Crowder. So he has lot more around him. What?
I'll bet you right now Trevor Lawrence has a better rookie season than Zach Wilson.
We got a beer bet.
Boom. Done. Didn't even hesitate. Oh, by the way, Eric, were there any running backs drafted in the first round?
There were two.
That's Brian's beer.
Can't wait for my next one. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, there's a chance. I just think that I think Zach Wilson has much better weapons around him. And so it might be easier for him to outproduce Trevor Lawrence in his rookie season. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence is a better quarterback. He's going to be a better quarterback. There's no question about it. I think he needs help. Like, every quarterback needs help. And I think it's a lot to ask to say, hey, you know, this collection of bums that we got that we earned the first round pick with, yeah, they're all you got. We didn't add anybody else. So, you know, make them winners. You know? Eric, what do you think about Zach Wilson?
I think he's going to struggle year one. I just more of a hunch. I don't think he's going to have come out of the gate. He's not going to look
too great. It's the uniform.
It's the Jets. It is the Jets that is part of it. But it's just more of a feeling thing with Zach Wilson. I don't think he's going to flash. People want so bad to say Zach Wilson is the next Mahomes. Like, that's all I hear. Like,
yeah, that's silly.
Let the kid fucking play a fucking snap first. Like, let's see. Yeah, does he have a Mahomes type arm? Sure, he does. I've seen it. But let's not put him on that mantle yet when the kid hasn't even played a fucking down in the NFL. Like, let's see what he got. Let's see what he got.
You and me have had more than one conversation about these player comparisons. It drives me insane. I heard one radio show today that
said, oh, you know, a really good quarterback fell in the first. He shouldn't have gone as far as he did. He's like the next Marino. I'm like, what? Bro, I like Mac Jones. Did you just compare him to fucking Dan Marino? Can we calm down? You know?
It's nuts. It's nuts, some of these player comps. Well, Jalen Waddle's Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, of course, yeah. I mean, almost every wide receiver in this draft was Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, I mean, that leaves one of the big five we haven't touched on yet. Justin Fields, Eric's boy. Chicago Bears, trade up. Take him at, what was that, 9?
11.
11, thank you. Yeah, with the Giants. They trade up to 11. They take their quarterback of the future. They're probably already regretting that tweet with Andy Dalton. It's a QB1, you know. Everybody's kind of talking about that now. That's why you don't do shit like that. What do you guys think about the outlook of Justin Fields in Chicago? I'd have to imagine Allen Robinson's pretty happy.
That's my outlook for Justin Fields. I think it sucks that he landed in Chicago. He will have to make hay with his fucking legs because they're not going to let him throw. Robinson will be fine. But as we know, there's never been a 4,000-yard passer in Chicago. I don't expect Fields to be that guy.
Well, because they've never had a good quarterback.
Cutler wasn't great, but he should have thrown for 4,000 yards as long as he was there. I don't see it. I hate the landing spot. I'm not going to lie. I wish anybody else would have taken him.
Yeah, I think that's silly, personally. Yeah. He is a huge, huge, huge upgrade. Justin Fields has the potential to be the best quarterback the team's ever had. They've never had a good quarterback. You bring up Jay Cutler? Fuck Jay Cutler. He sucks. Always has, always will.
Well, Fields hasn't played a snap for the Chicago Bears. They like to run first. So, we'll see. I don't like the landing spot. He's my number six quarterback now. And I'm sorry. It's just the way it is.
Number six.
I'd rather have Trask.
What?
Yep.
He's a backup.
I know. That's how down I am on Fields in Chicago.
Oh man.
That is ridiculous.
I'm all right with it. I think like Denver would have been a better spot, obviously, but I don't think Chicago's the worst spot for him. They got some decent weapons. A-Rob, Mooney. A lot of people think Mooney's gonna take a big step in year two.
Yeah.
And David Montgomery, Tariq Cohen, Cole Kmet.
So I think the running backs take a hit because he doesn't like to check down. But those wide receivers, that's money. And I don't know what you're talking about, run first. That's been the problem with Chicago, was they never were run first, even though they didn't have a quarterback.
Well, we'll see what happens. I don't like it.
Last year, they were number 9 in pass attempts per game.
Pass attempts?
Yeah. That's when you pass the ball? That's what the quarterback does?
No, I know what it is.
So they're not run first. They're pass first.
Well, then why do they have so many running backs? I'm not going to argue with you about my feelings on Justin Fields. I don't think he's.
You're allowed to feel any way you want about Justin Fields, but they're not run first, and Jay Cutler's not good. Those are facts. Those aren't opinions.
Okay. He was their best quarterback. So.
Facts don't care about your feelings. Who's that, Shapiro, who says
Shapiro.
That?
No, and I mean, if Jay Cutler was their best quarterback, then that just goes to prove the point that their quarterbacks have been awful. They suck. They've never had a good one. I mean, Jay Cutler might be the best quarterback in their history. Like, is he even in the top 10 for the Dolphins? Like, he's terrible. He's awful. The fact that Jay Cutler didn't pass for 4,000 yards does not tell me anything about the outlook for Justin Fields. I'm excited for those wide receivers. He likes to chuck it deep. You know, I think that the running backs might take a PPR hit.
A little, but I think it's going to kind of help Montgomery, too, a little bit, because fucking Fields can run. And yeah, we've seen how running backs do on teams with running quarterbacks. Linebackers can't crash the line right away. They have to hesitate, because you, especially, you know what I mean, if it's a read option, because if it's going to be, they have to hesitate. So if they rush, you know what I mean? If they think it's going to be the running back, then the quarterback takes off, right? And he's fucking behind him before he knows it. So it could help them in the running game a little bit. But you're probably right about the passing down work. It probably will hurt them.
I mean, I would think, and even then, like, Justin Fields can run. He's a damn good runner. He's fast. When they get close to the goal line, who's getting the carry? You know? I'm kind of worried. I'm worried about David Montgomery. I think I'd be fading him until his ADP falls a little more. I don't know if he's going to be that safety net RB2 he has been with Justin Fields. I'm worried the passing attempts will be gone, and I'm worried Justin Fields will run for the touchdowns.
Yeah, I think Montgomery's going to take a hit. The only one I don't think that takes a hit, I don't think Allen Robinson takes a hit. I really don't.
Oh, no, he's going to boom.
That's going to be fine. And Mooney might get the boom that everybody's expecting. The running backs are probably going to take the hit, but we'll see what happens. I'm not taking, like, I'm definitely going to wait on Montgomery. If I have him, I'm going to hold. I'm not trading for him. And when we get to redraft, his ADP definitely has to come down.
Yeah. So quickly, I just want to touch on these other guys real quick since we're talking about the quarterbacks. Trask, Mond, Davis. Steve, you're the dynasty degenerate. One QB league. Are any of these guys worth grabbing in the fourth round, just wait and see type of guys? Obviously, Trask has more value than the others because there's a path to him starting. What do you think?
I definitely would be looking to grab Trask to put on my taxi squad for a couple of years because you know Brady's going to play 1 to 2 more years. Davis Mills, I know we've talked about him. We think he's a career backup, but if Deshaun Watson doesn't play, there is a possible path to him starting this year. So I would have to consider it. And Mond, for me, would just be a stash. I think they grabbed him in case something happens to Cousins. He can develop, and it gives him some flexibility later on. So he would be my third one out of those three.
I don't grab disagree a stash. With that. So let's talk about the draft. You know, we get the quarterbacks out of the way. So, Steve, who was your biggest surprise of the first round?
Actually, the biggest surprise for me was Chase going to Miami. I expected it somewhat, but...
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. Sorry, not Miami. I expected a little bit because of the connection with Burrow, but I really, really thought that they were going to take Sewell.
Yeah. No, I can definitely get on board with that. I was shocked. I thought for sure it was Penny Sewell. Eric, who was your biggest surprise of the first round?
There's too many to pick one. Rashawn Slater falling the 13 for the Chargers. That must have been a dream come true.
Oh, yeah. He slid.
He slid. Yep. Then, like, a more negative, like, Kadarius Toney going 20th overall to the fucking Giants.
Fine with him.
Nah, dude. Absolutely not. Dude, Jason Garrett, that guy ain't fucking creative at all.
No, I know. Trust me, it's not a good fit at all.
I watched him for several years. He is not. Kadarius Toney had to go to like a fucking Arizona or a Carolina, I think, a team that would have actually been able to use somebody like him. He's not going to get used right.
The last episode I talked about, he was skyrocketing up my board, up my rankings, and the second he got drafted by the Giants, well, that's the end of that. You know, just wipe my hands clean.
Yeah. And obviously, E.T. going 25th overall. Like,
that's mine. It was a shocking pick. It was a little high for me to see him go. And he didn't even come close to filling a need. Like, the only good player on that fucking team is James Robinson. And you use the second pick in the first round to fucking replace him? I don't get it. Like, don't get me wrong. I think E.T.'s better than Robinson, but, like, do you really have to go out and spend that kind of capital to replace him? He was good enough, you know? Whatever. I don't get it.
I don't either, because I think he would have been there at 33.
Yeah, good chance. So really good chance.
And, I mean, look at the guys they passed on. I mean, fucking Rousseau, Jason Owa. Like, there were some defensive guys that went behind him. Like, they needed a fucking edge rusher bad. I figured they would have jumped on one of those guys. Joe Tryon, he went to the Bucks. I mean, it's like you said, like Robinson, like that whole season, he was like the lone bright spot on that offense. You struck fucking gold. You got an undrafted free agent running back. I know he's not fast. He had the most scrimmage yards by an undrafted free agent ever in his rookie season. He fucking played his heart out. You struck gold. And like you said, you spend a first round pick to replace him? That just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I don't know.
I thought more. I was getting more, a little more, like, I thought maybe, like, third round, maybe they would look at, like, a Kenneth Gainwell or one of them Michael Carters or something.
Yeah,
like,
a supplementary piece.
Yeah, I did not think they were going to straight up. They draft his replacement. They drafted his replacement. You don't spend a first round pick on a third down running back. I'm not fucking dumb. You're not dumb. We're not dumb. I think this is, for best case scenario for Robinson, this is a 50-50 split, but I think it's going to be more 70-30 ETN.
Oh, absolutely. Because you know who the quarterback's going to push for.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and that's the thing. Like, if they wanted a guy to help make the transition good for Lawrence, take a wide receiver from Clemson instead of a running back. I mean,
well, I don't think those wide receivers are worth consideration there either.
No, I don't, not there. No, but I mean, take one later on. They had plenty of picks. It's not like they had to do this. It was just a crazy pick. Take an offensive lineman. Take one of the edge rushers that was right there. There was an overabundance of the high talented ones. Take a linebacker.
I thought they were going to take Greg Newsome to try to help out their fucking defense a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, there was a ton of guys that they could have took. It's just an extremely surprising pick. We'll see what they do with it, but I do think Robinson takes a big hit.
Hmm. He is, and I'm the Robinson dude, man. He is 100% undraftable for me in redraft. 100%. Unless his ADP tanks to like the 7th, 8th round.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been sitting on him, debating whether I was going to trade him in my leagues, and now I'm going to have to sit on him. So.
Yeah, now you're stuck with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat, too, in the fucking super flex.
Yeah.
I got to kind of roll with him now.
I know you were so excited to get him, too.
Because I didn't think, like, I logically thought, I'm like, they got to realize, like, they struck gold, even if they're just going to ride this guy for, another 2 years.
You've discovered the problem, Eric. You expected Jacksonville to be logical.
Yeah.
There's
a reason. There's a reason they were picking first overall.
Yeah, exactly.
And fucking moves like this are going to help them next year.
And it took them almost a full 10 minutes to decide on Trevor Lawrence.
Well, they had to take calls, you know? So, I mean, kind of almost sort of the same question, but who do you think was the biggest reach of the first round? I'm going to tell you right now, mine's not E.T.
No, it's Alex Leatherwood.
Right up there. Right up there.
I mean, you can make a case for a lot of these guys. Jamin Davis, you can make a case for. You can even make a case for Tony. I'm going to go with Leatherwood, though, just because he was projected as a late second round pick.
Yeah, you take him over Darrisaw, that's fucking insanity.
That's nuts.
Yeah. There was, I want to say there was a linebacker that should have gone in like the third round that somebody grabbed, and I can't remember who it is.
Probably Jamin Davis, right?
Might be. Yeah, it might be.
Yeah, because he was, I guess, in between the draft and the end of the college football season, he was projected to be like a 4th-round pick.
Yeah. Yeah, the only three linebackers taken were Micah Parsons, Zaven Collins, and Jamin Davis. So.
Yeah, it was Jamin Davis by Washington. That was the one that was kind of like a what the fuck when what's his name? Was it KOT?
JOK.
JOK went in the third.
Did he really go all the way in the third? I didn't even notice that.
Was it the third? It might have been the second.
Second.
I apologize because... Yeah, he went to Cleveland. I know that, which was a great fit, but...
Yeah, that's crazy.
Cleveland had an awesome draft. I think.
Yeah, they did. They killed.
Yeah, they're doing really well. So, I mean, I took a little bit of a different approach with mine. I'm going to say Trey Lance, and it's not an indictment on Lance. Like I said, I think he might have the highest ceiling. He definitely also has the lowest floor. And you gave up the farm to get Trey Lance. You better hope that motherfucker can play. If he busts, oh, man, you're going to be eating crow for a long fucking time. You know? Mac Jones was the safe pick. Trey Lance was the upside pick. You're gambling. You're gambling on Lance. And I don't hate it. I like the balls of it. But, man, you gave up a lot for Trey Lance.
I do agree with you. He's basically a boom bust. He's either going to come out and perform well, or he's going to be fucking Sam Darnold. Yeah, I think when they traded up that he wasn't the guy they were going to take, and I think I think they decided they liked him better. I don't know that that was probably going to be the best decision, but we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm sure the argument internally was, do you take the floor or do you take the ceiling?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, they took the ceiling. I don't think it's a bad argument to be made. If it was my pick, if we started the draft and I was at three, I would have taken Trey Lance. I got to trade three first, I'm taking Mac Jones.
Right.
That's my thoughts on it.
I cannot argue with it, and I think it's a very good approach because, like you said, he has the highest. You could argue he has one of the highest ceilings, but he probably has the lowest floor, like you said. So, out of the five, I think he'd have to have the most likely chance to bust. And yeah. They gave up three first for him, and a team that's basically built to compete right now and contend. We will have to see how it turns out. But like I said, he landed in a fantastic situation with a good coach and some weapons and a good defense. So if he can't fucking get it done in San Fran, he ain't going to fucking get it done.
That's a wrap.
He's gone. Yeah.
So let's take ourselves out of the first round. First three rounds, who do you guys assign the best value to? Who do you think was a great value pick?
Trey Sermon, I think.
Boom. Mine too.
I also agree with Trey Sermon, but I'm also going to go off the beating path, so we don't all have the same one. I think Terrace Marshall was great value, getting him in the late second.
I would agree with that, too. I had him going in the first to Baltimore. So
I think I had him at the top of the second, Terrace Marshall. Do you think he effectively replaces Robbie Anderson? Because that's what it feels like to me. It feels like they're kind of the same guy, and I think Terrace Marshall has more upside.
He's going to replace him, but I don't think it's going to be this year. It'll probably be next year. He's going to ease into the offense this year. So if you take him in your rookie draft, there's going to be some growing pains.
He's a taxi slot guy for sure.
He's a taxi slot guy for year one, but I think in year two he could make some strides, and hopefully by year three he's breaking out.
Yeah, and he is very raw. He needs help. He's not developed. I don't think he's pro-ready. Like you said, I think you're going to want to sit him for a year on your fantasy team while he has the growing pains. Steve, do you have the same sentiment?
Yeah, that's pretty much the same way that I feel with him.
All right. And Steve, you and me both had Trey Sermon. Oh my God, dude. Is there any running back in this draft more perfectly suited for their running system? Oh my, dude, I saw they took Trey Sermon and I was like, wow, what a pick. And they got him so late, dude.
What's his injury history? Pick. That'll tell me how well he's going to fit in San Francisco's backfield.
They took him because he had good health insurance.
Yeah. That's what worries me about him going there. I think he's got huge upside. The talk will be, what does it do to Mostert? What does it do to Jeff Wilson? I don't think it does anything to either one of them because everybody in that backfield's hurt. So I think he's going to have opportunities this year to go out and show him what he can do. So, and at third round value,
I think he takes over that backfield. For sure.
I was going to say, at third round value, I think he gets an opportunity to take over the backfield if those guys miss a reasonable amount of time, which they have been doing the last couple seasons. So,
I think injury or not, he takes over that backfield.
I think he needs the opportunity, and I don't know that he gets it without injury. But that we'll see how training camp and stuff goes because he may light them up and jump right into the number one role. So we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, I think Sermon is more dynamic than Mostert. I think he has more ability than Mostert. I'm kind of looking at this like we did with J.K. Dobbins last year. Like, all right, it's not if, it's when. How long does it take him to win the job? That's my thought on it.
And it's possible. Like I said, we'll have to see how things shake out in training camp. That's going to be a big tell. And see, because that offense isn't, and the blocking schemes are not easy in that offense. So it's going to depend on how well he learns those, whether or not he gets in early.
That's kind of a good point that you kind of just brought up and you kind of just brought to my attention, though, Brian. Look at J.K. Dobbins. Look at Cam Akers. Look at Jonathan Taylor. Look at DeAndre Swift. They were high second round picks. And they didn't even take over their backfields right away. It took them time to ease into it. So I'm kind of on with Steve here, where I think Sermon will eventually take the job over like those guys did. Because like I said, even if Mostert is the lead dog, he'll be fucking hurt by week two. So he's going to be in the game. and he should, you know, be the lead dog. The thing that worries me with San Fran, specifically Kyle Shanahan, is he's always deployed a committee. He is always deployed a running back committee, hot hand approach, and he has he'll cycle in 3-4 fucking running backs. So I'm going to temper my expectations for Sermon a little bit. Like, I still wouldn't take him till, personally, and you guys can answer this as well, I'm not thinking about him till the 204 or later in rookie drafts.
Oh, I'm looking at him before that. The back of the first, I think he's a good pick in the back of the first. In redraft, I think he's lower for me than he is in Dynasty. But, I mean, whether or not he gets the job for this entire year or half of this year or the back third of this year or nothing this year, he's going to get the job. You know, so in Dynasty, if I have that kind of top-end talent playing in a system that's running back friendly, he's worth a back of the first for sure.
I would take him early in the second. If I'm really running back needy, I might take him at the end of the first, but I think I'm looking at 2-2, 2-3, 2-4, somewhere right around there.
Who isn't running back needy? You know, we can always use more.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're in full rebuild, I'm definitely, and you have a few extra picks, I would be looking at him around the late first. But if you're going best available, there's wide receivers that you're going to take ahead of him. Excuse me. It just depends on how your draft goes and who's there when you get to pick at the end of the first or early second.
So let's go to best fit for a wide receiver. Personally, I'm
Rondell Moore.
Rondell Moore, really?
I think so. If we're going to go for a later guy, I think Rondell Moore.
It doesn't have to be a later guy, just out of the first three rounds.
Out of the first three rounds, I don't want to cheat and say Chase because I do think Chase landed in an okay spot.
Yeah, Chase's spot's great. I'll say Waddle. I like him going to Miami.
Yeah.
See, Tua scares me.
I'm going to stick with Rondell, man. I when I saw Arizona took him, I loved it. I was like, this is fucking... That is where a Kadarius Toney should have gone to a Cliff Kingsbury run team.
Oh, yeah.
They'll
yeah,
fucking use him it. Right. They will use Rondell Moore right. I just hope he can stay healthy. Rondell Moore is 100% a target of mine in rookie drafts.
See, I'm going to say Elijah Moore. You know, watching him, he kind of reminded me of Debo. Just that very, you know, physical run after the catch and just squirmy guy that catches the shit underneath and could run deep if you ask him to. And now he's going to a San Francisco-style offense with the Jets. I think Elijah Moore is a great fit for what they're going to be doing.
I agree. I do like Elijah Moore as well.
I like Elijah Moore there, too.
Does that kill Jameson Crowder? I think they'll use them both.
I think they're somewhat similar. I just don't think there's enough wide receivers there to knock Jameson Crowder out of the picture. Even if Elijah Moore is the number one, which in his rookie year he might not be. But also, another little tidbit that I did a little digging on when I was looking at Elijah Moore. They owe Jameson Crowder $10 million this year. If they cut him, they only have to pay him one. I'm wondering if he becomes a cap casualty. Like, not that they give a fuck about the cap, but they won't have to pay him $9 million.
with having Davis and now Moore and Mims, if he takes a step forward, they may look to save $9 million and they can grab somebody else that might fill a different need.
Yeah, and he's older. They're obviously going with the youth movement, you know.
New coaching staff, too. That's always a player. Every time there's a new coaching staff, you know, they're not loyal to any players that were there before they came. Nope. So if they don't like a guy, see you later.
Yeah. So, just something to keep in the back of your minds on draft day. I don't know how high I'd be taking Jameson Crowder. what do you think is the best fit for a running back? Obviously, we just talked about Trey Sermon, but I'm going with Najee Harris. Three down back, going to a three down team.
It's hands down Najee because everybody knows Pittsburgh only uses one running back. So, he should walk right in, have that role.
It's Najee, clearly, just because of the situation. But I would not be shocked if you asked me this question in a year and I say Javonte Williams.
Yep. Yeah, I think once Melvin Gordon's out of the picture, Javonte Williams could be sitting pretty. What team do you think had the best draft overall through the first 3-4 rounds, you know?
That's a tough one.
I mean, personally, I'm going to say the Jets.
You know, they get their quarterback in the first. They get an offensive lineman. They go out and grab their running back. They go out and grab their wide receiver. They've completely retooled this entire fucking offense in a weekend. I love it. I think they're slaying this draft, man. A plus.
I like the Jets. I think the few picks that New England used, as usual, Belichick is still playing chess with everybody. I like the guys that he grabbed for us. So I'm very happy with that draft. And Cleveland, they fucking slayed it too.
Yeah, like we said, Cleveland, there's nothing to laugh at there, which is odd because it's Cleveland.
But yeah,
but yeah, they've done very well. And, you know, JOK in the second is a great, great pick. Greg Newsome in the first. You know, me and Eric have been talking about how Greg Newsome had shut down corner potential, and they get him in the back of the first round. And they already have good corners. It's like he might be just the missing piece to put that defense over the top and just become one of those top-tier Ds that offenses dread. And I just, man, they fucking killed it. What do you think, Eric?
Hey, I'm going to be honest. The more I look at it, I'm not going to dive into it too much. I would have picked the Chargers, but I don't like their round three pick of fucking Josh Palmer because I've never heard of the guy. But they were killing it to start it out.
Yeah.
I think Palmer, the Jets,
Palmer, they compare a lot to...
He's a Mike Williams replacement.
Mike Williams. But they compare him to Mike Williams, so it's actually a pretty decent pick, considering they're going to replace Mike Williams.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I was going to mention Palmer, he really is. He is Mike Williams' replacement. He is Mike Williams. Hopefully he's better than Mike Williams, but...
Yeah, I think he is better than Mike Williams.
But another sleeper team that I think did very well, I think the Dolphins did pretty good first three or four rounds.
Yeah.
I can get on board with the Dolphins. Yeah. You know, personally, for me, like I said, I can't ignore, and like I'm a Patriots fan. It fucking kills me to say that the Jets are doing a good job. But, you know, Dolphins take Waddle, Jalen Phillips, Javon Holland. I mean, obviously just loaded with picks.
They didn't take a running back, which
is weird, right? I guess they're going to roll with Myles Gaskin.
Myles Gaskin's owners, rejoice, baby.
I had this discussion with in one of my other leagues with some Miami fans. They were all disappointed. But, I mean, Flores is a Belichick disciple. That we don't have a big-name running back. You know what I mean? We've taken a little higher than we should have, but we run with a committee, and that's pretty much what they're doing. So, while it was surprising, it's not like they failed in their draft because they took other areas of need and got really good players with those picks. So,
I mean, let's be honest. In the NFL, you know, non-fantasy, in the NFL, running back is one of the most overrated positions on the field. You can win without them, and just because you have a good one don't mean shit if you don't have a quarterback and wide receivers. You know, I mean, really, it's. I don't blame them for passing on. I would have taken one somewhere. Don't get me wrong. You know, I'm not using the 106 on Najee Harris, but, you know, later on in the draft, your fourth rounder, you know.
I think they took a guy in the sixth or the seventh, but he's nobody.
Yeah, they did. They took Jared Doakes. Even his name is stupid. Yeah. There's no way that dude's good. Watch, he's like the next Earl Campbell.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jared Doakes, you hear that? Hall of Fame coming in.
Who took him? Miami?
Yeah. Miami.
Yeah, Jared Doakes out of Cincinnati. The 17th pick of the 7th round. That's why.
Well, they got Myles Gaskin. Myles Gaskin was a 7th round pick, too. So he turned in decent.
Yeah, but I think,
rare.
We can all agree that's kind of
very, very rare. Dude.
Yeah, diamond in the rough scenario. All right, so what team do you think has had the worst draft? I'm going to go right out on a limb. I'm going to beat you guys to the punch because I'm sure we're all thinking on similar lines. What the fuck is Seattle doing? Like, really? What are they doing? You know, they're ready to blow their star quarterback out of town. Because he wants to throw the ball. And they're saying, no. We're going to run. We're going to run the ball. They don't take an offensive lineman until the fucking 6th round. They take a wide receiver with their first pick of the draft in the 2nd round when they already just paid Tyler Lockett $50 million and they have DK Metcalf. What the fuck is Dwayne Eskridge going to bring to the table? Like, this is ridiculous. I don't blame Russell Wilson for wanting to leave. Fuck that. I mean, that's terrible. It's negligent.
Don't they have a big need at, like, secondary?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, there's a million ways they could have gone. And pretty much anything other than wide receiver would have been a pretty decent pick.
Yeah. I mean, they only had three picks, but still. That second-round pick was fucking stupid.
But that's what makes that second-round pick so valuable. You didn't have time to fuck around with this shit, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, like Cincinnati, you know, they pass on Penei Sewell. We all went, oh, no, what are you doing? Their second-round pick was an offensive lineman. They know they need it, but they can fuck around. They have picks, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
I just, man, it's like, it's not a need. You don't need a wide receiver. You don't want to throw the ball to begin with. You just paid Tyler Lockett $50 million. Your fucking quarterback wants to leave because your offensive line sucks. And then you go through the entire fucking draft and don't get any offensive linemen until the sixth round. Like, what are you doing? It's just dumb. Dumb. Steve, who was your team?
Green Bay.
What? Yeah. No. Come on, that's silly.
They didn't need another corner.
Yeah, they did.
No, they didn't. They did not need another corner this year. Especially not in the first round. You're losing your quarterback because the guy doesn't want to play for you because he wants people to throw the fucking ball to. So you get a defender. That's
oh my God, this brilliant. Fucking crybaby shit again. Like, I don't know where these people are coming from. Where are you people coming from? They had one of the best offenses in football. Yeah, wide receivers in need.
But he would like wide receivers in need because when it come down to big moments, the other guys besides Devontae Adams drop the fucking ball. So they need talented wide receivers, not just guys to put on the field.
They drafted Amari Rodgers, who I think is pretty good.
He's all right. But
he's a decent enough number two.
But where they were at, they could have taken somebody much better.
Did that defense get picked the fuck apart in the playoffs, or was that just my imagination?
Yeah, because they drafted... Whatever. Green Bay has failed at their fucking draft again.
I don't think so at all. I think they had a really good draft. I honestly don't see what there is to complain about. I think they did a great job. And I'm certainly not drafting a wide receiver in the first round just for the fuck of it because my crybaby fucking diva quarterback wants one. Fuck him. He's been wanting out of town for years. It has nothing to do with their fucking draft. Nothing to do with it. He's just a bitch. Bottom line, he's a bitch.
We'll see.
I can tell you right now, that top offense with Aaron Rodgers, rid of him, put Jordan Love in there, I guarantee you they finish outside the top 24.
No, of course they will, Aaron.
They're not
like,
the same.
You're going to replace a Hall of Famer with fucking Rodgers. Jordan Love. Of course you're going to dip. There's no question about it. But like what? Now I'm going to let him make the fucking draft picks?
Not make the draft picks, but maybe keep him in the fucking loop. I saw
Fuck
a tweet
him.
Earlier.
You can read it in the paper tomorrow. That's the loop.
I saw a tweet earlier that said, you know, Bruce Arians talked with Brady and told him that they wanted Trask, that it was open, and Brady was, you know what I mean? He was like, absolutely, that's all, you know what I mean? I'm cool with that. You know, you get a bill for whatever. They didn't keep Aaron Rodgers in the loop at all with Love. Completely blindsided him.
I'm fine with both. I'm fine with both. I mean, if you want to keep your players in the loop, I'm fine with that. If you say, hey, I'm the GM and you're the fucking quarterback, so you throw the ball and I'll make the picks, I'm fine with that too. And this shit with Aaron Rodgers goes back years. It goes back for years. I mean, let's not forget, he got his last head coach thrown the fuck out of town. It's not because they drafted Jordan Love. It's not because they don't draft wide receivers. He's been disgruntled for years. Jordan, he is not disgruntled because Jordan Love is there. Jordan Love is there because he's disgruntled. And I don't think wide receiver is a huge need. Obviously, they could use one, but I don't think it's a huge need. And they addressed it. They took one. Why does it have to be a first rounder? That defense got picked apart in the playoffs. That corner is a good pick. And change my mind. You can't.
I disagree with you. So we'll see what happens. But you asked who I thought failed, and that's who I think failed.
I believe there is more to this Aaron Rodgers Green Bay Packers story that we have yet to be told.
Oh, there definitely is.
It's in development. It's going to keep coming.
He's been disgruntled since they got rid of Jordy Nelson. And that's what, 5 years ago, 6 years ago?
Yeah.
So it's an ongoing thing. This is just the newest development in the Aaron Rodgers saga.
I mean, he's a diva. But, he is a diva.
Yeah, most of the quarterbacks are.
Oh, absolutely.
I just think that they had other areas of need that they could have waited and taken a corner in the second, third, or fourth rounds. I think they took one again in the fifth. I just think they're off on their picks. That's all. It didn't necessarily have to be a wide receiver in the first. I mean, Rodgers might be serviceable as a third-round pick in Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they had other things that they should have taken with the first couple of picks that they did not do. So.
No, I mean, you're entitled to your opinion. I think it's crazy. This is all I'm hearing about is how they didn't draft a wide receiver. I think it's insanity. It drives me insane, in case you couldn't tell. Eric, what was your team?
I'm with you with Seattle because they only had three picks, but I'm going to give a different, I will also give a different team. And the team that I am going to actually pick is going to be the LA Rams.
Really?
What the fuck would you waste a pick on 2-2 Atwell for?
That's a good point. And like, that's after, it. I don't after even last care who year, they take took. Fucking Van Jefferson. He never touches the field. And then your first pick in the draft, you take 2-2 Atwell, who weighs what, 150 fucking pounds?
5'7", 150. And like, you don't really need a receiver. Like you said, they just took Van Jefferson. They still got Robert Woods and Cobb. Like,
and they signed DeSean Jackson.
That was just a bizarre pick, man.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, they were definitely in consideration for mine.
The Saints, too, were close.
Yeah.
I don't think they had a very good draft.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, like, who is that fucking quarterback they took super late? But, like, now they're, like, talking it up because he went to Notre Dame. I'm like, get the fuck out of here, dude. Ian Book, he sucks. Terrible. He has career backup written all over him, even more than Davis Mills.
Yeah, they took who's the
Peyton Turner in the first?
Yeah, wasn't he like a second round mock in most people's mocks, like a mid to late second, if not a third?
And yeah, Greg Russo went after him, and so did Osef Owe.
Owe went after him, and even Tryon I would take over him. So
I think they're pretty close, but I would definitely take Russo and Owe over Turner. Yeah, that was a bad pick, I think. But we'll see. I mean, who knows? Maybe they saw something that we didn't, you know?
Yeah.
But you're only talking about a few picks apart. It's not like they reached super far for the dude, you know? But yeah, I'm with you. I can definitely get on board with the Saints. I can definitely get on board with the Rams. They didn't take any, meaningful impact players. I would have thought that they would look at some O-line help, maybe some D-line. It just seems like their priorities were elsewhere. You know, obviously they need Tutu Atwell, you know. But yeah, I mean, they
Tavon
don't.
Tavon Austin 2.0, they need him.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, they don't take
shit with him.
They don't take a defensive lineman until the fourth round. They take another wide receiver in the fourth round. They take Jake Funk in the seventh. Another wide receiver in the seventh. It's like, dude, what are you guys going to do over there? Like, they fucking eight wide receivers. But yeah, no, I agree with you. I think the Rams are a good pick.
What do you think about, since we talked about Leatherwood and the reach, what do you think about the Raiders draft?
The Raiders, all in all, I don't think have been that bad. I think that pick was egregious. But they recovered nicely. I think they did a decent job after that. That would be my thoughts. I think Leatherwood was a reach, but you know, Trevor Moehrig in the second, yeah, I can get on board. You know, Malcolm Kuntz, I'm okay with. I didn't watch a ton of his tape, I'm going to be honest with you. But, you know, what I saw, I didn't think he sucked. You know, I mean, he's a third-round pick. He's not going to blow you away. But, yeah, I'm okay with the Raiders.
It wasn't terrible, but fuck him because they sniped Moehrig from Dallas. I'm pretty sure they were taking him in the second. Yeah. They were all in on safety. All in on safety. They got three of their seven picks were fucking safeties. So
yep.
They want to make sure they get that position right. Yeah, but yeah, Leatherwood was an egregious reach, I think.
That was bad.
It just didn't make sense. Like, if you were sold on him, move back
down
a little bit. Trade down. You know, like, I don't know why. Like, Mayock just kind of seems like he fucking sucks, number one. But
yeah, no kidding.
Like, he seems like he doesn't even have the brains. But, well, you know, I can probably trade back. Trade back to the late first. Like, early second. Like, fucking get some capital and then take Leatherwood.
I would have thought they would have taken Moehrig in the first. and then taking the tackle in the second.
Myself. Well, I'm fine with taking Morrig in the second. I mean, they
no, I am too, but I just...
Alex Leatherwood should have been Christian Darrisaw. That's the end of the story. It should have been Christian Darrisaw.
I would be fine with that.
And we'd be praising them for it. You walk away with Darrisaw, Morrig, Kuntz. Great job. Hats off. You know?
The reason they said they didn't take Darrisaw is because they didn't draft Leatherwood to be the left tackle. He's going to be their right tackle. Where I think Darrisaw is viewed more as like a left tackle prospect.
So you purposely draft the worst player because you want him to play a worse position. Rather than having the flexibility of your left tackle gets hurt and I can move him over.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's dumb. Like, this is why I don't listen to these fucking draft day dummies like Mel Kiper. Like, Mike Mayock did it on the NFL Network for fucking years, dude. And now he has a GM job and he blows. You know, they don't know what the fuck they're doing.
No,
I'm not drafting a left tackle. I'm drafting a right tackle. So I'm going to take Alex Leatherwood.
Okay. That's why I was asking. I just didn't know if I was the only one that thought Mayock was a moron or if it was a consensus thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, he's an idiot. Not doing a good job.
They reach every year on players they shouldn't.
They took Henry Ruggs over Jerry Judy.
Glennon Farrell in 19.
Mm-hmm.
Ruggs over Judy and Lamb.
I agree with you.
They kind of recovered. Alone. Like you said. Like getting more. Because I in my final mock, I had them taking Morrig in the first. I was just around too early. So they kind of recovered because, like you said, Leatherwood probably would have been more like where they went. So I don't want to say it washed because they still made the mistake, but they just got very fortunate, which they had to trade up in the second to get Morrig.
Yeah.
If they didn't trade up, they weren't getting him.
No, and I think they could have gotten a pretty serviceable tackle in the second if they didn't. And I would agree with Darrisaw. They should have taken him in the first, but if they would have taken Morrig, they could have got a very serviceable tackle to fill in at the right tackle spot if that's really what they wanted. In the second, but they could have gotten a tackle that was capable of doing both,
mm-hmm.
and not had to trade up.
I figured they would have invested in their O-line a little more than they did in the draft, too, personally, considering they pretty much fucking disassembled it. I mean, they traded Trent Brown, and I believe they cut two other players. Bad organizations are bad for a reason.
So we touched on it briefly earlier in the show. What do you guys think about passing on Penei Sewell to take Ja'Marr Chase? I get it. Ja'Marr Chase is a great talent. He's also not a position in need. And Penei Sewell, one GM was quoted after the draft that said that he thought the only surefire Hall of Famer in this draft was Penei Sewell. He is a legit top-end left tackle. What do you guys think about passing on him, taking the wide receiver to try to help the offense, as opposed to say, hey, you know what? We got to do this. We got to protect our investment in Burrow.
I was shocked at the time. I really, really expected them to take Sewell. I think pretty much everybody did. I know Eric had said that he had a gut feeling on Chase. I don't hate it. It gives Burrow another familiar target. And they did grab guys later on, but I mean, I don't think that I think there was a decent drop off between Sewell and Slater, and a huge fucking cliff between Slater and the next guy. So passing on probably the best tackle that's come out in recent years is kind of crazy, but we'll have to see how it plays out for him.
Now that I've had some time to stew on it, I don't hate it at all personally. Their left tackle isn't horrible, Jonah Williams. And I believe that is why they derailed off of Sewell. I mean, don't get me wrong, end of career, Sewell will probably be the far superior player. But left tackle wasn't the weakest spot on that O-line. They needed interior help, which they addressed in the second round. So I am actually okay with Chase. And I get the logic, because they felt comfortable with Jonah Williams. And they felt comfortable enough to pass on Sewell and take Chase. So, and much better landing spot for Chase, because we're talking fucking fantasy. And I would much rather have Chase in Cincy than Miami.
Oh, dude, that's not even fucking close. I was like, I know you were super high on Chase, and as am I, don't get me wrong. But like, if he went to Miami,
I'd have been a little more reluctant because I don't fully believe in Tua. He looked so bad last year. And like, hopefully whatever ailed him, he has completely recovered from. Maybe it was the hip bothering him. It was fucking up his mechanics. Just, he didn't look good throwing the ball. So I wasn't sure how much interest I was going to have in Chase if Tua was the quarterback. Now he's with Burrow. T. Higgins on the other side. Tyler Boyd kicked into the slot. Oh, fuck yeah, baby. Sign me up. Sign me the fuck up. I can't wait, dude.
I will give a little spoiler alert. I am taking Chase at the 101.
Oh, in the listener league?
Yes. I will say the same thing. Chase is 99%. There's a 99% chance I take Chase at the 101. I guess I'll say there's a 1% chance I take Harris. But mm-hmm. I think for the structure of my team, Chase is the better pick for my team.
Yeah, more longevity.
Yeah.
And I'm building towards, if you guys couldn't tell, I'm building towards 2023.
We noticed. And
I'm going to say right now, Tank Bigsby, Bijan Robinson, you motherfuckers better declare it fucking early because I'm building for you guys.
Well, you guys will both be happy. 2.1 in my league that's drafting right now, Rashad Bateman. 2.2, Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, I mean, I love Kadarius Toney. I moved him all the way up to 2 pre-draft. He's just so tough. He's so physical. He goes up and gets the ball. He was playing with subpar quarterback play. Like, not that I think Trask is terrible, but it's not like he had one of these top-end guys, you know? The more I watched the tape, the more I loved him. And I'm just like, man, this is one of those guys that just people are sleeping on, you know? And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm right. Who the fuck knows? But, man, he went to the Giants, and I was like, forget it.
Yeah, and that's the way I feel about Bateman. No. So,
yeah,
I'm okay with Bateman. I'm like on an island by myself. I don't hate it. I understand all the concerns: run first offense, inaccurate quarterback.
But they drafted him because they need him.
They did, and I like Bateman the talent. I just the team and Lamar. That's my hang up with them. I'm just worried that like there was so much hype about Hollywood. Oh, Hollywood. Going to the Ravens, he's going to be great. And I know he's more of a boom bust guy, but I don't know.
I was about to say, I mean, Rashad Bateman projects to be a little bit more of a possession receiver. Hollywood's Which a streak, is, you know. I mean, yeah. he's the deep guy. Those guys are never going to be dependable. But a possession receiver on a team that needs wide receivers, I'm a lot higher on that than I am on somebody like Hollywood.
Yeah, it's their offense.
I mean, that being said, I don't like Rashad Bateman. I he's too slow off the snap. He's too indecisive. No.
Pre-draft, he was one of the guys I didn't want to leave my fantasy draft without. Now I hope to God he doesn't fall to me because I might have to take him.
See, it's like
that's the way I feel about him.
I'm kind of the exact same way. I mean, the exact opposite, rather. Like, he was a guy that I wanted nothing to do with before the draft, but now he's in such a juicy spot that I'm like, oh, geez, I might have to, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, like we're on totally opposite ends of the spectrum here.
Like, if I could get him at the end of the second, I'm okay with that.
No way.
But
no,
he's not going to go there.
Yeah,
I was just going to say, I got the 202 in the listener league. I'll probably take Bateman there if he gets to me. I don't think he will, though. I think he's going to be a late first pick still, just because of the draft capital. He was a first-round pick, and there's not much competition.
With single quarterback, I would agree with that, because like he's in the second in this one because it's super flex, and 5 quarterbacks went in the first, so... If they don't, he's a first round pick. He's like the 1.8, 1.9.
So I mean, this is a guy that I struggled with before the draft, and now I finally have my answer. Devonta Smith is a Philadelphia Eagle after trading with the Dallas Cowboys, which was shocking. How do you guys feel about Devonta Smith heading into this year? Personally, I'm down. I'm so down, dude.
Clear cut wide receiver 2 for me. Not even a debate. Over Waddle.
Yeah. Oh, he's your rookie wide receiver too?
Yes, rookie wide receiver too.
He would be my wide receiver 3, but I think he has the opportunity to finish like right at 24. He should be a wide receiver 2 in fantasy.
Who are you taking over?
Fucking Waddle and Chase.
Waddle.
I don't know how
just
I rank
because
them,
I like
honest.
I like Tua better than Hurts. Not by much, but I like Tua better than Hurts.
Yeah, I don't know. That's tough for me. I mean, they're definitely wide receiver needy. He should walk in there and be their wide receiver one. I'm worried about his size. Obviously, I've brought that up several times.
You and every other fucking analyst and podcasters, size. It's all I ever hear.
Dude, his fucking legs are the size of my wrist. Like, it's a huge concern. Like, it's not just he's undersized. Oh, well. You know, Wes Welker was undersized.
Small, successful receivers.
I've never seen one that slim. I've never seen one that slim. Like, I was about to say, like, Wes Welker was undersized. Julian Edelman was undersized. They weren't fucking his size, man. Like, he is slim. He's got nothing. He's meat and he's skin and bones.
He's got the skill.
He's got a ton of skill. He's got a ton of skill, but he's not playing against 19-year-old kids anymore. I'm worried. I'm worried about that size. I'm worried about his health. I'm worried he won't be able to get off of jams. I'm worried about the hits. I'm scared. I am scared of Devontae. I don't know if I have the balls to draft him, put it that way. I really don't.
Where you're at, I would definitely take him.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't think I will. I really don't. I don't think I have the balls to draft him there.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be a mistake. I might talk myself into it. You know, usually I kind of like when I'm so far from the field, I usually talk myself back to the field. So I might end up finding my way to that point, but I'm kind of like, man, just outside looking, my own thought as I stand right now, I don't want Devonta Smith. He's too fucking small. He's too slim. He's not even small. He's slim.
Well, the nice thing is you can trade down from where you're at if that's who's there, because somebody will trade up for him.
Yeah. I just, man, I look at his thighs.
Which maybe me and you will talk
business. Like the size of my wrist. Huh?
I said, if that's the case, what Steve just said, maybe me and you can talk business.
Brian likes his thighs, so price is going up a little bit. Throw in some dollar bills.
That's why Earl Campbell's my favorite running back, man. The thighs. You can't argue with it. But I think that's going to wrap up our analysis of the first round. Was there anything you wanted to add, Steven?
No. Christmas is over. It's a long drought until the next Christmas. But we'll have off-season workouts and training camp coming up soon. So rookie camps and all that good jazz. So we'll get to see how these guys are going to start working out in their new teams. So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. All your rookie drafts should be starting up soon if they haven't already. So good luck with those. Get your questions in. You know, we'll try to get to Nate's question here shortly. And if you have other questions on who would we take here, how do we have this guy, what do we think of this specific person in this specific landing spot, send him in.
Eric?
Yeah, well, I'm sure we're going to get to that question by next week. We'll have our rankings a little more hashed out. Yeah, like you said, let the dust settle a little bit. Evaluate everything. I mean, there's still, as we speak, there's undrafted free agents getting signed left and fucking right because I've been paying attention to them because there are some names that did not get picked that kind of surprised me.
Mm-hmm. Tomori and Terry.
R.I.P. Tomori and Terry. I had high hopes. You went undrafted. You ain't going to get drafted by me or anybody. And another guy I had high hopes on was Seth Williams. He tanked, man, sixth round. All set. Gonna be fighting for a roster spot. Never mind fucking, you ain't fighting to get on mine because I'm going to pass when I see you.
Yeah. So I don't know if you guys saw this, but Nate actually shared the episode that we did last week. He shared it on his Facebook page. So now that Nate has sent us a question, he is officially entered for the Brandon Ayuk giveaway. We're giving away a 16x20 spotlight photo of Brandon Ayuk signed in red ink. Beautiful photo, beautiful signature. And you could win it simply by sending us a question to our email at dddfantasyfootball@gmail.com or by leaving us a voicemail at 508-343-8010. We don't give a fuck what the question is. We'll answer anything. So send us a question, share a social media post. You are entered to win. If you want to see the picture we're giving away, go to daydreamingdegenerates.com. That's our website. You can check out our rankings, some bio stuff on us. And if you have a league or a draft or a mock or a trade that you would like to get judged, you can reach us at dddfantasyfootballjudge@gmail.com. It is a special episode we will make just for you and your league mates. It's a separate stream. We'll put it out there. We'll shoot you the link. You can share it with your friends, listen to a shit on their teams. The guys that come in first can talk all the shit they want. The guys at the bottom, we're right, you're wrong, don't bother writing us. And we look forward to doing more draft talk. We're going to be going over more rookie stuff next week. I think that's going to wrap up.
Listen
to
league. Oh.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, listen to league rookie draft is this week, right, on the 5th?
Yes, Wednesday, yep. Cinco de Mayo! All right, so I think that's pretty much going to wrap up our draft recap. We were so happy to give it to you. We hope you enjoyed listening to it. Don't forget to reach out to us, and we look forward to the next episode.